dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Stephen Moore and Stephen Fry.
Two minutes to the 11 o'clock news, George.
Right.
You're the lead, so you better get down to the studio.
George, can I have a word in my office?
Caroline, I'm about to do a broadcast on the murder in the Commons.
That's what I want to talk to you about.
Can't it wait?
Now, George.
Not another disciplinary, is it, Caroline?
Do you realise what I've been through to save your neck?
What did I do wrong?
You may be our top crime correspondent, George, but it does not give you the right to go jumping down into the House of Commons from the press gallery.
I jumped down because I could see the Minister of State, Mr. Peter Anderson, was sitting on the front bench, dead.
I know that, George, and believe me, it was a great live piece.
Of course it was.
Terrific radio.
That's what I'm famous for, leaping ahead of the press boys.
Literally.
1 minute to broadcast, George.
Yes, just coming.
But don't get me wrong, George, you have my full support. But I have to see the Director General first thing to explain your actions.
Have you told him what a good job I'm doing for the BBC? That I'm the one on the trail of the bank manager murderer?
As it happens, that's exactly what I told him.
You better go, George.
Yeah, you love me really, don't you, Caroline? Mm.
All I'm saying is, George, be careful.
Yes, that'll be fine.
They tell you how to stand on your own two feet. Muscle and blood must learn to compete. You're on your own. On your own.
Micro!
I'm doing a recording.
Right, look, I'm sorry, Andrew. Could you please keep your music down?
Just started to record the first track for me demo tape.
Look, I'm really sorry. I'm upstairs. I'm trying to write a speech, and you are making one hell of a racket.
Well, that's a protest song tradition. Anyway, you said you weren't writing today.
Yeah, I know, right? But my party's great leader has got to express our disapproval of murder in the Commons.
But why? It's a victory for the people!
Yes, and for the Reform Party if we play our cards right. Now, please, Andrew, you just give me 30 minutes silence. I think I'm about to write the best political speech of my career.
George? You sure we're allowed in here?
The House of Lords bar is one of the most civilised rooms in London. Anyway, if you're investigating a murder, where better to do it than surrounded by dead people?
Oh, yeah, but I mean...
Frank, the law lords are personal friends of mine, and so are the waiters. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Your Lordship.
Your Lordship?
Yeah, well, that was just a bit of insurance to make certain we got in. If anybody asks, I'm Lord George of Portland Place, and you're Viscount Soho.
Viscount Soho?
Keep your voice down.
Yes, relax, Frank. I could hardly tell them you were an old sweat from Scotland Yard. Anyway, I hate drinking with that riff-raff in the Commons. Why shouldn't we move up market? That's what the maniac did, killing Anderson. The Palace of Westminster is a far cry from a small bank in Tooting.
Yeah, the killer starts with ordinary bank managers, then a stockbroken analyst, now this.
It's almost as if he's working up to something.
Well, what could be bigger than murdering an MP on the floor of the House?
Will you be quiet over there?
Oh, sorry.
I don't think he's reached the climax yet. The dead minister, Anderson... Who were the last people he was with before he entered the chamber?
I'm just off to see one of them. A fellow called Dominic Diaz.
Diaz?
Yeah.
Diaz? The only Diaz I've ever heard of is called Carstairs.
That's Sir Carstairs, Governor of the Bank of England. This is his brother.
Elevated company for a junior minister.
Yeah, that's another thing that puzzles me. If you're going to murder a minister in the House of Commons, why not do the Home Secretary instead of one of his minions? I mean, Anderson wasn't important, was he?
No, not really. But he did have a special responsibility for law and order. Did a lot of the spade work piloting the Criminal Justice Bill through the Commons.
Excellent measure. Fully supported by all professional police officers.
How can't you out?
I'm doing my bit, mate. As this green and pleasant collapses into anarchy.
It
makes me sick what's happening in this country. Jobs are taking over, George. Nowhere safe from the loud, uncouth vandals that threaten our very way of life.
For God's sake, you lad, keep your voice down.
Sorry, Lordship.
Bloody hooligan.
Right, here's your speech, CP.
Thanks, Henry.
Well, aren't you going to read it?
Oh, must I?
I just think it's rather good.
Well, let's see. Madam Speaker, as leader of the Reform Party, I must express my sorrow at the tragic murder. Yes, yes, looks lovely, Henry.
It's one of my best.
That's why you're pleased, is it?
I'm pleased, CP, because we're swimming in a political sea of Tory blood.
Steady on, old chap. I mean, we mustn't speak ill and all that.
Oh, yes, we must. De mortuis nil, Reform Party won.
I beg your pardon?
Look, what does a dead opponent mean? It means a by-election. And what does a by-election mean?
Henry, I'm in no mood for trick questions.
It means publicity. And this party thrives on publicity. Publicity is oxygen. You'll be on everything. The Today programme.
But I'll miss breakfast.
The World at One.
Lunch.
PM, the 6 o'clock news, the World Tonight. And then there's Panorama News Night.
Oh, no, this is intolerable.
CP, listen, what do we feed on?
Absolutely nothing, by the sound of it.
We feed on attention. Look at the murders. Our popularity is shooting up. We are gaining credibility.
And losing weight.
Now, there's a by-election, a southeast seat, unpopular government. We're going to storm it. We're surging in the polls.
Fricassee the polls.
But Crichton Potter, don't you care about the party? The third force. Don't you want to see the voice of reason triumph and defeat for the bigots and zealots with their burning zeal?
I don't think I've ever tasted burning veal.
I said zeal. You're not listening. This is our chance to win something.
I'm all for countering ludicrous zeal, starting with yours. I shall, of course, establish a campaign headquarters. The Savoy Grill will do admirably.
But that's nowhere near the constituency.
And that's exactly where I'm going. Nowhere near the constituency.
Mr. Diaf, sir?
What is it?
A person from the police to see you, sir.
Ah. Show him
in. I'm Chief Inspector Jefferson, Mr. Diaf, from Scotland Yard.
Well, come in, Chief Inspector.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Diaf.
Have we met?
I don't think so, sir. Of course, I've heard of your brother.
So has everyone, Inspector. And yet I ask you this. In the world of finance and economics, which one of us is regarded as a completely seminal figure?
I'm sure I couldn't say, sir.
Do you have a brother, Inspector?
Oh, yes, sir. He runs a chip shop in Plaston.
My brother is the Governor of the Bank of England, and yet could he run a chip shop, Inspector?
It's Chief Inspector, sir.
I, on the other hand, am the author of War, Inflation and Money, a work which, in a very real sense, has everything to do with the price of fish.
I'll recommend it to my brother. Now, sir, I understand you were with Peter Anderson just before he went into the House of Commons.
Yeah, that's correct.
What were you actually doing?
We were on the terrace drinking Perrier Jouet. That's champagne.
I'm a Ruddles man myself. That's beer. Did you see anything suspicious, sir?
Well, there's always an atmosphere of suspicion when politicians gather. No, but wait. There was one thing. An odd young man kept staring at us. Untidy hair, shabby dress. Anyone took him for a Labour Party researcher, but even the Labour Party draws the line at odd socks. Not quite fresh, if you take my meaning.
Odd socks.
One red, one green, I think.
Thank you, sir. You've been most helpful. Just one other thing, sir. This is a very nice house. Now, I'm sure your books do very well, but...
but they would hardly finance a home in Eaton Square. Hardly any of your business. But there's money in the family, Inspector. Old money. I live on the fruits of other people's achievements. Still, at least it isn't plasto.
No, sir. Good day to you. Don't trouble the butler. I know how to open a door.
Charles, didn't we have to meet this early? And here of all places.
It's safer. No chance of being seen.
But Regent's Park? Don't you think they've taken this secrecy thing a bit far?
Walls have ears, Martin. Hasn't it occurred to you that people might be listening?
I'm the controller of Radio 4, for God's sake. It never occurs to me people might be listening.
Well, if you listen to me, then you won't have to worry about Radio 4 anymore. And I won't have to run Radio 2 anymore.
Point taken.
Go away! Charles,
was that really necessary?
It reminded me of Gloria Honeyford.
Oh.
Now, Martin, we have the programme idea.
Yes.
A programme that is satirical, offensive, blasphemous, and epoch-makingly bad.
Replacing songs of praise.
And called Oh Jesus.
So, how do we ensure that this show is going to be so awful the Director General will depart in disgrace? Mm. Aren't there any producers in the television service of the standard of incompetence we're seeking?
Probably not. They're all in management.
Yes, quite. So, where do we find, as it were,
a complete idiot?
A moron.
A dunder.
Who's guaranteed to drop the biggest clanger in the history of broadcasting.
You know, ideally, it should be someone who's never produced a programme in his life. Someone who knows nothing about television.
Yes, someone who works in a department like policy and planning.
Mm.
Or pensions.
Martin, do you remember Hercules Fortescue? That imbecile and personnel who's on hunger strike.
Good God, but he's a complete lunatic. In fact...
Oh, Charles. It's brilliant.
Yes. Let's just hope he hasn't starved himself to death.
I can't go on.
Pardon?
I can't go on.
Who the hell is this?
It's Hercules.
Hercules Fortescue?
Yes.
What do you want?
A disciplinary hearing once convened continues to sit.
Hercules, we've been through this. My editor has dropped the charges against me. Wait a second. You're not telling me you've been waiting for me in that little office all this time.
Proper procedure has not been adhered to.
But it's been what?
10 days.
10 days? Haven't you been home at all?
No.
When did you last eat?
Staff instructions make no provision.
Hercules, forget the staff instructions. There are numerous sound ideological reasons for going on hunger strike, but believe me, the contravention of an internal BBC directive isn't one of them.
A personnel officer cannot forsake his duty.
Look, Hercules, I'll get one of my sub-editors to go up to the canteen and get you a tray or something. It's not food, but it's a start.
But,
okay? And then I'll be along as soon as I can. Look, I've got to go. I've got a report on the bank manager murderer.
Mr. Craig! Mr. Craig! What? If that's how it is. From Head of Personnel Administration, News and Current Affairs, to all departments. By the time you read this, I shall be dead.
Have you been hiding, George?
At the top of every news bulletin for 24 hours. On the front of every paper. Call that hiding, dear Caroline?
Look, I'm not complaining. Quite the reverse. The journalists in the parliamentary unit say you're taking work away from them.
I didn't know there were any journalists in the parliamentary unit.
On the other hand, you didn't manage to get a quote from the PM, did you?
Okay. I've got about an hour's work here, then I'll go back to Westminster and see what I can do. Oh, and I'll give Max some moral support.
Max? Oh, no, the Chancellor's giving a statement.
Max is doing a report on it for the 10 o'clock. Now, I'm sure you'll agree it will be helpful for him to have a journalist with him when he does it. So, if I'm going to get down there...
Yeah, all right, I'll leave you to it. I've got the parliamentary unit saying you're working too hard and the personnel officer who's starving himself to death.
Oh, so I must be doing something right.
Exactly. Okay.
That's why I phoned you. I don't care if she's your best temp. She's late. You know, we are a high-profile political party on the brink of a big by-election victory, and we can't afford to employ slackers. Hold on. I think she's here. Hang on. Come in. Look, I don't want to appear petty, but this isn't the best start to your first day, and I...
Hi.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Sorry I'm late. My tube train broke down.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm Letitia.
All right.
And you are?
Henry.
Good. So you're not going to fire me?
No.
I knocked on downstairs by mistake.
All right. So you've met Andrew the anarchist?
Tall guy in C&D boxer shorts and odd socks.
Is that, that's him. Our resident protest singer, is it? Let me take your coat.
Thanks.
So, have you been doing temping long?
No, I'm in the middle of a degree at UCL. I'm doing this for some extra money.
Oh, what are you studying?
Psychology. In fact, you might be able to help me with some research for an essay I'm writing.
Right, sure. What's it about?
Sexual activity in professional men.
Oh.
And I request that my allocation of Lever Arch files be distributed to those most in need, along with all spare computer disks and the remaining pages of my desk diary. My hole punch I leave to my assistant, Dawn. Copies to George Craig and the controller of Radio 4. Personnel, Fortescue.
Ah, Hercules, excellent. You're still alive.
Not for much longer, Controller. I'm just sending you a copy of my last memo and testament.
Hercules, you've got to call this hunger strike off immediately.
I can't, Controller. Since George Craig has been permitted to ignore the verdict of his disciplinary, my life has lost all meaning.
But, Hercules, the answer to your problems is at hand.
It is?
I assure you. You're even now being spoken of in the highest echelons of the BBC as a man with a key role in the corporation's future.
I am?
So for God's sake, man, pull yourself together and get yourself into my office first thing tomorrow morning.
Yes, Controller.
Have you got anything you can eat to get your strength back?
Yes.
What?
One crisp.
Well, make sure you get a good meal inside you.
Cheers, Frank.
Good health.
Max?
Yes, old boy?
What are you doing here? You should be getting ready to do a report.
If I'm to comment on the Chancellor's speech, I need to do my research.
What's she really? The Sun's money page.
Look, you should talk to Dominic Diath. He's a much underrated man in economic research, so he told me.
You reckon that description he gave you was a lead, huh?
Well, it could be the killer, because the funny thing is, I know I've heard about odd socks somewhere else.
It's not conclusive evidence of being a homicidal maniac, though, is it? No.
George, it's for you.
No peace for the wicked. If that's that personnel maniac... Hello?
This maniac.
Ah, you. How the hell do you find me here?
In the pub. You're George, George. Of course you're there. So any closer to catching me?
Listen, are you completely barking mad?
Not mad, George. Just different. And I'm getting more popular by the day. I think you could say that my hits are a big hit. Anyway, I haven't got much time to kill. I need my time to kill.
Don't give up the day job.
Oh, I don't intend to. Now, my next attack will be closer to home, if you get my meaning.
No, I don't.
You'll see. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll explain the notes another time.
Another time. Another time.
What do you mean, closer to home? Hello?
Who was that, then?
Oh, just the killer.
What? What'd he say?
Basically, a couple of bad jokes. And that the next killing will be closer to home.
Closer to home?
What's he after, George? What is he after?
Our deepest condolences, comma, and we in the Reform Party will seek to make...
Seek to make?
No political capital from the tragic and untimely death of the member for Talbotting.
Talbotting.
Yours, Geoffrey Kyden Potter, MP.
Now the memo?
Right, yes. Right, to the chairman, Reform Party headquarters, Talbotting. Dear Jack, this is the big one. Exclamation mark. Choose candidate now. Let's go and stuff the buggers.
Henry.
Oh, CP.
About this by-election campaign. Oh, who's this?
I'm Letitia, from the temp agency.
Ah, yes, of course. I'm Geoffrey Crichton Potter.
I know. I recognise you.
Do you? Oh, hear that, Henry. She recognises me.
Yeah, CP, a couple of letters for you to sign.
Now, but I've only popped in for my brolly.
It won't take a second.
Oh, you'll have to wait till after lunch, Henry.
But CP...
Oh, Henry, you know I can't do any work on an empty stomach.
Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Bye.
Right, where were we?
Stuff the buggers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Henry, how about getting lunch ourselves?
I'm sorry.
Shall we go and get something to eat?
but we've only just met.
Then you can help me with my research.
Research?
For my essay on the sexual activity of professional men.
Oh,
no. Shouldn't take too long.
In my case, 2 minutes.
Great! I'll go and get some sandwiches and bring them back.
Oh, oh my God. She's beautiful. Not only is she beautiful, she's interested in my sex life. But I don't have a sex life.
Sorry to trouble you, it's the police.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. I'm Chief Inspector Jefferson, Scotland Yard. Is this the Reformed Party office?
Yes.
And you are?
Henry Drew.
Job?
I'm our leader's speechwriter and treasurer.
I see.
And press officer, campaign manager, business manager, conference manager, entertainment secretary.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that one. Are you aware that a known prostitute is also operating in this building, calling herself Auntie Agony?
Yes.
Any connection with your party?
Only in that we're both extremely small operations whose patrons prefer to remain nameless. Mm. How can I help you, Chief Inspector?
I'm leading the investigation into the bank manager murders.
Oh, yes, yeah, tragic business.
Knackering business, especially now that he seems to have moved on to MPs. Anyway, I want to see your leader, Mr. Geoffrey Crichton Potter.
Oh?
Yes, he was the first MP to get to Peter Anderson's body. I took a statement from him.
Well, that's a first.
What?
CP ever saying anything without me writing it for him.
Oh, sir. You ever wear odd socks?
I'm sorry?
Were you at the Commons with your boss the day Anderson died?
No, I was here all afternoon.
Can anyone confirm that?
No.
I see. Can I have a word with Mr. Geoffrey Crichton Potter, please?
He's at lunch.
Till when?
Till about six, and then he has an early dinner. Look, you don't think he's got anything to do with these murders, do you?
How long till we're on air?
2 minutes.
If George has got Max in a pub, I'll sack the pair of them.
Look, Max is an old pro. He'll be here, don't worry.
In 2 minutes? And what's the bloody Middle East report?
Okay,
it's in the studio. It's ready.
And there's an overlap on the Washington tape.
Oh, I've cleaned it for you. It's down there waiting for you.
So everything's fine, except Max isn't here.
Right, yeah.
Look, I think you'd better go down to the studio now.
Yeah, I'll take
these. Kettle on 8 with a piece of the 2200.
And tell them we haven't got Max.
Corin Douglas on 5 with a piece of the 2200.
Look, you better move. We've got less than a minute.
Right.
Go, go.
No, 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 we're going in a second.
Go, Max, go. You've got a green. I've seen it, George, thank you. I don't know, George. I haven't been this embarrassed since the night William Rees-Mogg asked me to tango. Max, it's 1 minute to 10. Even if I get there, what can I say about the Chancellor's statement, George? Who can I quote? I haven't even seen CFAX. My piece is the lead. It's 2 minutes 30, which means you've got what? About 3 minutes to get to the studio.
Any sign of Max?
No.
Oh, kill him. Okay, Gemma?
Yeah, I think so. After the head sits George, then the Chancellor's speech.
10 seconds.
I know.
Then I say we'll bring you Max Parker's report as soon as we can.
Well, just don't say he's drunk in a pub with George Cragg. End on Clinton, okay?
Yeah.
Ready, cubicle?
They're ready.
Right, stand by.
Shh. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
BBC Radio News at 10 o'clock. The headlines. The police hunt for the bank manager murderer has intensified after the killing of junior minister Peter Anderson. The Chancellor has made a major economic statement in the House of Commons. But first, the bank manager murders.
This report from our crime correspondent, George Cragg.
Oh, God, they've started.
Forensic scientists at Scotland Yard have not yet named the poison that killed the junior minister.
I'll switch it off.
But it's...
Max?
What?
I know you're feeling like Nigel Mansell with a toothache.
Oh, no.
This is Regent Street. You're going too fast.
There's something I ought to tell you.
That you're not really a journalist. So keep to the road. Now watch out. You nearly got yourself a Welcome to London t-shirt. Japanese tourist, 50 bonus points. Slow down, Max.
I can't, George. It's the brakes.
What?
The bloody brakes have failed.
Good God. But I thought this car was...
Oh, no. Closer to home. Closer to home.
We are home.
The killer. He's done the brakes in. He's trying to kill me.
What?
Look out, Max. Yeah. You're going to hit the main doors of...
Members of the House heckled the Chancellor during his speech, And the leader of the tiny Reform Party, Geoffrey Crichton Potter, had this to say.
The Chancellor is in danger of overheating the economy. And a Chancellor who overheats the economy ends up burning the veal.
Well, we must apologise. We're still unable to bring you that report on the Chancellor's speech from Max Parker.
I'm a pro, and I've never missed you to open it all. Nothing's going to keep me up the air. My public loves me.
Max, you're bleeding. And now, here's our economics correspondent, Max Parker.
Good evening. In today's feverish economic atmosphere, I can do no better than to quote... the user manual for the Mark IV Cortina. Always check the main braking system. Advice, perhaps, the Chancellor should heed. This is Max Parker, BBC News.
So, how do you know that this was a deliberate attempt to murder you?
It wasn't me the killer was after. It was Max. I found this in the glove compartment.
Dear economics correspondent, how's this for some rather ingenious Keynesian fine-tuning?
I risk my case. Definitely the work of the bank manager murderer.
And to think I was just about to sack you.
Sack me in 5 minutes.
Where are you going?
I'm going on air, Caroline. I want to tell the nation that the killer's just gone and made his first mistake.
In the Red was dramatised by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 4 starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Stephen Moore, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Victoria Carling, Benjamin Whitrow, Julian Rhine-Tutt, Susie Bran, Peter Serafinowicz, Nicholas LePrevost, and Alice Arnold. And also featured Annabelle Mullion, Jonathan Keeble, Don McCorkindale, and Tim Hope. Music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Red is script edited by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.